I have to sing my own special before I preach? Feel like traveling on. You want me to sing that? Or most of us want to sing I Feel Like Settling Down, though. Yeah, we're in business now. Okay, it is a privilege to be here tonight, again in this pulpit where I've stood many times and preached hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of messages. And I'm going to preach one of them again tonight. So, God, I preached about every major person and every major topic, passage of scripture in the Bible in these 46 years plus. Where's that coming from? Is this thing demon possessed here tonight? I've prayed hard today, so I guess the devil's fighting me here tonight for me. Well, turn in your Bibles, please. Let's get down to business here. Exodus, the third chapter, one of my favorite portions. And my kids, you say, Daddy, you say that about all the Bible. Well, this is one of my special favorites then. Exodus, the third chapter. Page 73 in your old Scofield Reference Bible. King James Version, that is. Exodus 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and Amorites, and the Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. And now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Now, there's a lot of messages in there. You know, the Lord sees all that we go through with. The Lord was conscious for 400 years of all the oppression that the Israelites had down in the land of Egypt. He saw it. Verse 10. Now, therefore, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee. And we'll stop our reading right there. And let's pray. Father, we thank you one more time, Lord, for this privilege of standing behind this pulpit, Lord, where I've stood so many times. And Lord, I confess before God and these people that, Lord, I can preach a little bit if you'll help me. And Lord, I can't do it unless you help me. And so, Lord, would you, you said, certainly I will be with thee to Moses, and I ask you, Lord, to be with me tonight that you might be glorified. Speak to our hearts, encourage your people. Lord, somebody here tonight that needs to make some spiritual decision to get right with the Lord or to rededicate themselves or be saved, I pray, God, that they'd do it tonight. Have your way in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Moses, as you know, was raised in the court of Pharaoh. But then when he had to choose, he chose to go with the people of God. But like us, he tried to take matters in his own hands, and he killed a man, had to flee, had to run. And as we come to chapter 3 here, we see Moses shepherding sheep at the age of 80. He's 80 years old in this chapter 3 right here. But all of a sudden, as he was shepherding these sheep on the backside of the desert, all of a sudden he saw a bush that was burning but was not consumed. And he turned aside to see this strange sight. And the Lord spoke to him out of that burning bush. And he said, "Take off your shoes. This is holy ground." And God said, "I have heard the cry of my people, and I am going to deliver them. And also, Moses, I'm going to use you to deliver them." And Moses said, "Wait a minute, Lord. I can't do that. You know I can't do that. Who am I that I should go into Pharaoh and bring Israel out of Egypt?" And God said, "Certainly, I will be with thee." And that was all Moses needed, wasn't it? And folks, that's all I need, and that's all you need tonight. And brother, that's all you need down there in Africa. If you have him, you have everything. And that's what we need. And this story has, as I've already said, has been one of my favorite portions of Scripture. And there are many lessons, many, many. I mean, things started popping out while I was reading that, just messages there in the Scripture. But there are a few lessons that I want to bring out from this burning bush experience tonight. And I want to speak to you on echoes from the burning bush. Lessons from the burning bush. First of all is the echo of, the echo of God's holiness. Now the angel of the Lord in verse 2 was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he appeared to Moses in a flame of fire. And that flame was the Shekinah glory of God, which represents the holiness of God. Fire in the Word of God stands for God's holiness judging evil. Hebrews 12:29 said, "Our God is a consuming fire." And before Moses is sent forth on his mission to deliver the people of God, he needed a vision of the holiness of God. And folks, we need that vision tonight. In this 21st century, we need in our I'm not worried about the other churches, but our fundamental Bible-believing Baptist churches, we need a vision of the holiness of God. And when he saw the burning bush, God said, "Moses, take off your shoes, because the place where you are standing is holy ground." Now, as you know, I know it when I say this, it's nothing new. I'm a fundamentalist, not a funny mentalist. Well, maybe you might call me a funny mentalist. But now I'm not a conservative. I'm an independent Baptist, fundamental Baptist. You say, "Preacher, if you wasn't a Baptist, what would you be?" I'd be ashamed of myself. It's what I'd be. But there's one thing. I'm proud to be a fundamentalist, but there's one thing that's sadly lacking in our fundamental churches today, and that's the emphasis on the holiness of God. That'll affect the way you live, the type of music. I mean, some of this, you know, the reason I'm against most of this, and I'm getting off my message now, I don't get to preach to you too much. I'm going to get a little in while I've got you. But you know what's the wrong with all of this contemporary music today? It does despite to the holiness of God. That's what I mean, just Johnny Get Your Rattle Trap type music, birdbath music, And we need emphasis. And a person or a church will be as shallow as a bird bath until God is seen as a holy God. Now, holiness just simply means that God, and I can't fully understand this, but it means that he's absolutely pure. I mean, there's no shadow of sin in his being. Revelation 15:4 says, "Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name?" Now notice it says, "For thou only art holy." He is a holy God. And God's holiness is manifested to us in many ways, but let me mention three ways for your consideration. First of all, his holiness is manifested in his name. And the Word of God emphasizes not his wise name, or his mighty name, or his lovely name. And he's all of that. But his most of all, his holy name. He is called the Holy One. And this is his greatest title. And around the throne of God, just visualize over in glory tonight. Isaiah got to eavesdrop on glory. And when he saw into the glory world, you know what they were saying over it? They were crying out over around the throne of God. The seraphims were crying out, not sweet Jesus or lovely Jesus or precious. They were crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So his holiness is manifested in his name. His holiness, secondly, is manifested in his works. God's ways and his works are perfect. We may not understand them, but his ways are perfect. The psalmist said he is holy in all his works. Now, I can't say that, and you know me for 46 years, you know that I can't say that everything I've ever done is holy and perfect. By the way, I know you well enough to know you can't say the same thing. But our God, everything that our God has ever done is right and good and perfect and holy. He's a holy God, and it's manifested in his works. And then God's holiness is manifested in his cross. The atoning death of our Savior on Calvary's cross, folks, is a picture primarily of God's holiness and God's hatred for sin. Now, when you see the cross, primarily, it is a picture of the holiness of God and how he hates sin. Sinful man needed a way to get back into fellowship with the holy God, and the spotless Son of God went to Calvary to die in our place so we could be brought back into fellowship with God. And when our sins were placed on Jesus, God had to turn his back on his only Son. Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I'll tell you why God turned his back on Jesus. God is a holy God, and he cannot look on sin. And when all of my sins and your sins and the sins of the whole world were placed on Jesus, God had to turn his back on his only Son. Just think, my sins caused God to turn his back on Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And because God is holy, he hates all sin. All sin. And the word of God says God is wicked. God is angry with the wicked every day. And because he is holy, we must approach him with reverence and respect and fear. When Moses approached the burning bush, God said, Moses, put off your shoes from off your feet. And when we come into his presence, we should take off our shoes, so to speak, and approach him with a holy awe and a fear and a reverence. I just thinking today, years ago, some of you were here, when Tori, this had been around 20 years ago at least. Tori was in school. He was down in Brazil to confirm his call to Brazil. And he'd gone up on the Amazon. And right as on Wednesday afternoon, Brother Graham sitting here, he called me. And he said, Brother Gene, Tori has just come back from the Amazon. And he's been in terrible pain and hadn't slept or eaten anything for 2 days. And I believe you said he had either meningitis or hepatitis. And so they was going to take him to a German doctor that night. And I went over on the lake and prayed, called all my friends that knew how to pray. And I remember coming in here that night, and I didn't feel like preaching. I just felt like my son was down in Brazil. And I didn't know how white it was. And I come up here and I said, we're just going to pray tonight. And I knelt down here and I took my shoes off and walked right up there and put them down and come down here. And we prayed, and I prayed with my shoes off in respect of a holy God. And we got a hold of God that night, and people prayed. And I went over on the lake and prayed and went home. And Brother Graham called me after we got home. and said that he'd gone to a doctor, and he'd given him some medicine, and it was viral meningitis, I believe. That's the less kind, not as serious as the other. Bacterial, I believe, is the other one. And so that night, when I come into the presence of God for my son, I didn't know where he'd live or not, down in Brazil. All I could do is take off my shoes before a holy God in respect to the holiness of God. And folks, because he is holy, you know, we ought to live holy lives. And a separated, holy, godly life is the only way you can please him. How many of you don't have to raise your hand? How many of you want God's power in your life? How many of you want God's presence in your life? How many of you want God to use you? And if you do, you're going to have to live a holy, godly, separated life. Now, there's no such thing as a worldly Christian knowing the presence and power of God in his life. So God is a holy God. 1 Peter 1:16 says, we find the Lord says, be ye holy. Why should I be holy? Why should you be holy? Because God says, for I am holy. So the echo of his holiness I see in chapter 3. Then a second echo is the echo of God's faithfulness. The Lord appeared to Moses in the line of duty. He was a faithful performer of duty. And you know that's what we ought to do, folks. We ought to be faithful performer of duty. And one of the greatest attributes you can have is faithfulness. I remember old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. I'm glad I went to Bob Jones University under old Dr. Bob Jones, great man of God. I can't hardly do it today. He'd raise that leg and say, young people, and he'd say, the greatest ability in this world is dependability. And you know that's right, dependability. You don't have much character if people can't depend on you. You know that? And Revelation 3:10, God's word tells us, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So we ought to be faithful to the Lord. We ought to be faithful to the church. You ought to be faithful to this church. You ought to be faithful to your Sunday school class. And teachers, you ought to faithfully visit every week. I still believe Sunday school teachers ought to visit. And by the way, I believe bus captains ought to visit too. Bless your heart. Lay in bed or go hunting or fishing or swimming or doing housework or something like that when you ought to be out visiting on Saturday on that bus route. John, where are you? Say a big amen back there. You agree with that, John, or not? Okay. Now, folks, that's the only way to get God's word. If we're going to reach people, now, you can't go to Africa and sit there, son, and do nothing. You might as well stay home. Unless you go out and knock on doors, trying to get people saved, get them in the house of God. And it works in Brazil. Graham has visited, and Renee have been faithfully visited and visited, thousands of visits, and it's paid off. They've organized, how many churches? 5 churches you organized? And you just didn't pray, man. Now, I believe in praying, you know that. God sent us a great young preacher to this church. Some of the best preaching in America is done right here in this church on Sunday. And listen, don't leave it all to your pastor. And you Sunday school teachers, bless your hearts, get out and shake the bushes. Build up your Sunday school classes. And build up these buses. You can drive these buses around all day long, and it won't do any good if you don't get out and visit them on Friday and Saturday. Well, I persecuted the saints enough there. You ought to have, let me say this. You ought to be, what time? Oh, I've still got plenty of time here. But you ought to be, when you tell somebody something, you ought to be as good as your word. They ought to say, if that person tells me something, you can bank on it. I learned that from my father. I've told you this before. One time, Roy Uren, Daddy's first cousin, pulled up in a truck in front of the house and honked. And one day, you know, I despise that. People honk in front of the house, want you to come out to them. You ought to just let them honk and you stay until they come to the door. And anyway, Daddy went out there and talked for quite a while, and he come back in. And Mama said, Martin, what did he want? He said, well, Roy wanted me to vote for him for, he's going to be precinct chairman in there in Saudi and in politics. And Mama said, what'd you tell him? He said, I couldn't vote for him. And he's my daddy's first cousin. And he said, well, Martin, what'd you tell him? I told him I couldn't vote for him because he's lined up wrong. And he's his first cousin. He told him that. And Mama said, well, Martin, why didn't you tell him you'd consider it? He said, no. He's lined up, and I'm not going to vote for the bunch he's lined up with. And he said, I wasn't going to tell him that I'd consider it when I wasn't going to do it. My dad would fight you. He'd fight you before he'd lie to you. And folks, we ought to be people that we ought to faithfully tell the truth. I'm getting off on a lot of rabbit tracks here, but I'll be through here in a few minutes. But most of all, echo of God's faithfulness. Now this is a great, now if you'll just notice just this right here, this is a great truth on, and it'll help you in your situation you're in tonight. The Lord told Moses in verse 6 that who he was the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then look at verse 8 there. He said, I'm come down. Now this is so important. Get this message right here. I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good and a good land and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Why? Why was God going to do that? And here's why. We won't go back to Genesis 15, but God told Abraham, listen, he said, your seed would be a stranger in a strange land, God said, and they're going to afflict them down there for 400 years. And in the fourth generation, God said to Abraham, they shall come again hither. God made that covenant promise. And here, listen, here at the burning bush, the Lord is appearing to Moses to fulfill his covenant he made with Abraham. God's a faithful God. Don't listen. Don't miss this now. Centuries had come and gone, but God had not forgot his promise to Abraham. Isn't that wonderful? God is still on the throne, and he cares for his own. His promise is true. He will not forget you. God is still on the throne. Hallelujah. That's about to put me on shouting, Gregory. I mean, God is not going to forget us. Child of God, you may be having a hard time, but if you're born again, if you'll look to the Lord, if you'll be faithful, I've got news for you. You'll make it. God's going to see his children through. Now, that doesn't mean you won't have some hard times. But if you'll be faithful, I guarantee you, God will see you through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, there's some more goodies here. I'm just now getting wound up. But not only do we have an echo of the burning bush of God's holiness and God's faithfulness, but also we have an echo of God's power. God's power. And this third echo that comes to me is that God has all power. He's able. He's able. And there's three things I want us to see about God's power from this burning bush. First of all, restoring power. Moses, at 40 years of age, you know the story. He murdered an Egyptian and had to flee for his life. And the next 40 years, now he's 80 years old, folks, here in chapter 3. And next 40 years, he spent herding sheep on the backside of the desert. Moses probably thought, I'm an 80-year-old failure. But now God appears to him and calls him and restores him at 80 years of age to a life of usefulness. D.L. Moody said Moses spent 40 years thinking he was a somebody in the court of Pharaoh. Then the next 40 years on the backside of the desert learning he's a nobody. And then the last 40 years of his life discovering what God can do with a somebody who's nobody. And that's true. And God's power is able to restore you to a life of usefulness. Now, there's just a good crowd, and I appreciate you being here tonight. And probably some of you realize, well, are thinking maybe that God's through with me. But listen, God can, the rest of your days on this earth, God can bless you and use you. Now, as you get older, I'm preaching still. I've through pastoring this church. I felt like it's God's will after 46 years and 4 months. But I got to thinking a while ago. I've preached in Bristol a number of times, preached in Greenville a number of times, preached down in Greenville last night, and preached in Elizabethton a number of times, and Morristown, just all around. I mean, God's still letting me preach a little bit here and there. I just go, and Brother David Fox called me last night, and I'm going back down to Greenville to preach next month. So, God, you know, I'm going to let, I can't hardly crawl in this pulpit, but as long as I can get up here, I'm going to preach. I feel good tonight. Now, let me get back to my message here. Where was I? I even forgot where I was here. Well, God, let me say, I've got off on a rabbit track, but God's power is able to restore you to a life of use. He did it for Moses, and he can do it for you. You might think, my usefulness is over. Oh, no. No, it's not over. God can restore you to a life of usefulness. If you just offer yourself, say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. With your help. And you can't do it without the Lord's help anyway, can you? If you'll present your body to him, God can use every one of you in this building tonight. He can use you. Now, not only his restoring power, but his delivering power I want us to see. Pharaoh held 2 to 3 million Israelites as slaves in a cruel bondage. In typology, Egypt is a type of the world, as you know. Pharaoh, a type of Satan. Israel, a type of man in sin's bondage. And Moses, a type of Christ, our deliverer. That's great, isn't it? God appeared to Moses and said, I'm going to use you to deliver my people because I have heard their cry and have seen their oppression. Now, my friend, let me bring this truth right here to the 21st century. Doesn't it stand to reason that if God could deliver 2 to 3 million Israelite slaves out of Egyptian bondage, that he has power to deliver you? Isn't that reasonable? And I don't care what your problems are, and why don't you may be in bondage to this or that, or there's some situation that may hinder you. God can deliver you. And a person may be in bondage to drink or cigarettes or financial bondage or lust, but God wants you to deliver you if you'll just let him. I remember Harold Sider, and I've used this here many times. He said over in that church over many, many years ago, that great man, I miss Harold Sider. Thank God for men like that. Mays Jackson that's come here. Bill Rice, John R. Rice, men like that stood on this pulpit. God, I feel like I'm on holy ground. These men been up here like that. But Harold Seitler over there in the chapel, when we met over there, he said, there's a lady in our choir in Greenville. Used to be a streetwalker, the streets of Greenville, a prostitute. And she got saved by the grace of God. He said, now she sings in our choir every Sunday, and she's as pure as a down on angel's wings. And the Lord can deliver you. The Lord can help you. And by the way, the Lord can forgive you of all sin. Now, people may not forgive you, but the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from what? All sin. Well, let me move on. I see not only the echo of God's restoring power and delivering power, but enabling power. God said, Moses, I'm going to use you to deliver my people. But Moses said, Lord, who am I? Here I am, an 80-year-old sheep herder. I'm just a failure. Look at verse 12 there. Look at verse 12. I stopped with that. And he said, God said, certainly I will be with thee. Certainly, I will be with thee. Now, maybe you can identify with Moses tonight, and you're saying, I have no education, or I have no abilities, or no talent, not much personality, and I'm a failure. I've gotten my life in a mess. I'm beyond hope. But my friends, if you're saved, there's hope. There is hope. God is saying to somebody here tonight, I felt led to preach on this. I love this anyway. Lord, don't have to nudge me too much to preach on this chapter. But the Lord told Moses, certainly I will be with thee. Now, if you're his child, he makes that promise to you tonight. Certainly I'll be with you. I will be with thee. Now, I've told you many times, some of the newer people hadn't heard this, but 48 years ago, last month, I was up in the woods, in the hill, in Illinois, behind our apartment. I already told the people I'd come down here. And I only wanted to come down here. God has blessed me up there. I didn't want to come down here if the Lord wasn't going to go with me. And the Lord spoke to my heart through two verses there in Exodus 33, 14 and 15. And I said, oh Lord, if you don't go with me when I go down there, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I want your presence. And if your presence is not going with me, I don't want to go. And the Lord, back in the hills behind our apartment, the Lord assured me before I came down here that he was going to be with me. And bless the Lord, oh my soul, I've made mistakes. I hadn't always done everything right. But every now and then, for 46 years while I was here, every now and then, I felt a wonderful presence of the Lord. I sort of feel good up here tonight. I sort of feel good here tonight. But the Lord told Moses, certainly, I will be with thee. And now it's still early. I've got a little bit more time. I'm going to preach to you, and I'll sit down. But you've heard me tell it. I fought on this thing of enabling power. I fought the call to preach, as you know, for four long years. I was shy and bashful, and started feeling called to preach. I didn't ever think I could get behind a pulpit, and with all those eyes. Now, when you get up in front of there, look at all those eyes out there looking at you. I just couldn't take it. And after high school, I went off to play football down in Mississippi, and but you know, I'm glad. I wanted to preach. I just didn't think I could. I just didn't think I could. And I'm glad, Brother Graham, the Lord is merciful to me. He knew I wanted to, but I just didn't think I could do it. And the Lord, every now and then, for 4 years, the Lord kept, every now and then, sort of, I'd felt the urge down in my heart that I ought to be a preacher. And I was sort of like Moses. I said, who am I? I can't even get up in front of the crowd. And so bashful, wouldn't even ask a girl for a date. But the Lord didn't give up on me. Finally, one night my junior year, you've heard me tell about before, during spring practice down at Southern Mississippi, it's midnight in the athletic dorm, and I woke up, and there that desire to preach was on my heart. And I knew I had to do something. I went up, got down on the went out on the golf course and got down on my knees and said, Lord, I believe you're calling me to preach. And I'm going to preach if I make the biggest flop that ever got behind a pulpit. And I want to praise him. I've been preaching 58 years now since that day. Brother Paul, 58 years since I got down on my knees. And I was a 20-year-old boy, scared to death to get up in front of a crowd. But he's blessed me. Help me down through the years. And I've had the 58 years a privilege of just bragging on Jesus. Brother Daniel, 58 years been bragging on Jesus, son. What a privilege. Moses, certainly I will be with thee. And he will be with you tonight. All he's waiting on you to do is surrender to him. Say, Lord, here I am. If I make the biggest flop ever got in a Sunday school class, if I make the biggest flop ever got on the bus route, if I make the biggest flop that ever got in the pulpit, whatever you want me to do, I make the biggest flop that ever got in behind a pulpit singing, Lord, I'm going to just surrender to you. Use me for your glory. And he will be with you if you'll just be out and out 100%. for Jesus Christ. Moses, certainly I will be with thee. Certainly. And he'll be with you. He'll be with you. If you'll just surrender to him, say, Lord, I'll do it. With your help. With your help, I'll get it done. And with his help, you will. He'll be able to use you for his glory. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As he was with Moses, he'll be with you. He'll be with you. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that said, Brother Lashley, I want the power of God on my life. I want the Lord to use me. I want the Lord to use me for his glory. I don't want to go the rest of my days just spinning my wheels. I want to be used of the Lord. I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to be used of God. Just raise your hand. How many of you say, Preacher Lashley, yes, 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 yes. Oh, just like I did, I came and got down on that golf course and I surrendered, got on my knees and surrendered to the Lord. And the Lord started helping me. And the Lord started using me. And if you'll surrender to the Lord, say, Lord, here I am. Don't have much to offer you. But he can hit a pretty good lick with a crooked stick, I'll guarantee you. He can use you. He can pull things out, talent that you don't realize inside. He can pull out and use you if you'll just surrender to him. Let him have his way with thee. God will bless you. Brother Gary, let's just sing, All to Jesus. With heads bowed and eyes closed. All to Jesus I surrender. Now we'll just wait a moment, but you say, Preacher, I want God to use me. I want the power of God on my life. I want him to use me. I want him to use me. Just slip right down here. Tell the Lord that right now. Come on, as we sing. That's right. Come on.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give.
If the Lord is speaking to you, just come right on. I surrender all.
I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior.
Keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. Keep playing softly. Here's Brother Paul and his dear wife. They had to come home from the field. Just keep playing softly. He wants the Lord to still use him in Brazil. That ought to put us to shame. Here they're willing to go back and invest their life in Brazil. And let's just pray that God will touch them and help them and give them many more years of faithful service down in Brazil. Maybe you're saying, Preacher, I want the Lord to use me in my Sunday school class or on my bus route. Come and get on the altar before the Lord. Tell him, Lord, use me. Would you do it? You know, just keep playing softly. My son, Tori, is going to be going down to Crown College Friday, moving down there. And as you know, he's been in Brazil 19 years. And now he's going into a new profession, or new ministry of teaching. And Tori, I want to ask you to just come down right to the front, right here, if you will. I'd like for some of our men, just right now, to slip out. Come right over here, Brother Tori. And I want to see God touch and anoint Tori. Just some of you men, just slip out and come down here. Gather around Tori and pray that God will anoint him. Help him. Brother Jack Mosier, would you pray that God would just touch him and fill him and use Tori down there as he teaches those precious young people at Crown College this year? Brother Jack, go ahead. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes.
I know that's what you meant when you wrote it. And dear God, I know that's what you'll do. And Heavenly Father, I pray this tonight that you respect the Lord God that he should. And I thank you very much for that for us. I pray the Lord Jesus God.
Yes, God. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, God, touch him. Touch his dear wife, Lord. Yeah. Yes.
Brother Gary, let's sing that chorus, God is still on the throne.
God is still on the throne, and he cares for his own. His promise is true, he will not forget you. God is still on the throne.
Let's sing it again, and we're dismissed.
God is still on the throne, and he cares for his own. His promise is true, he will not forsake you. God is still on the throne.
Brother Philip, you and your wife want to slip out and be in the lobby. Folks can meet you. As you shake hands with Brother Philip, you may want to be a special blessing to him and slip something in his hand there. Let me encourage you also, praying for Miss Pritchard. It's great to see you in the service tonight, and the Lord has raised you up enough to get out. That's great. And still needs our prayers. Put it on your prayer list, praying for Pastor. Be supporting the church and the work of God in prayer. We need to pray. And a spiritual battle is going on in this building next week, really every Sunday, but in VBS next week, and be praying. You can't be here. You can't be canvassing. You be praying. Ask God to do a mighty work. Lord bless you. We'll see you, many of you, tomorrow night at 5:30 in the gymnasium for supper. Amen.